Thank you, and good morning. My name is Josh Hernandez Morse. I currently serve as head of school at the Pacific Buddhist Academy, a post I am proud to hold. I follow in the tradition of PBA's founding head of school, Piper Toyama, who has retired from service in the educational sector, but continues his work as president of the Hompa Hwangi Mission of Hawaii, the Kyuran. I began with Pacific Buddhist Academy when PBA first opened its doors in 2003. Mr. Toyama, who had hired me originally to work as an English teacher at Parker School on the Big Island, asked if I might be interested to help him launch the first Buddhist high school in the West. And I couldn't resist the offer. The prospect of working with Mr. Toyama and the students and parents at PBA to figure out what a Buddhist high school would emphasize and how to fulfill the school's mission of preparing students for college, enriching their lives with Buddhist values, and nurturing their courage to make peace in their communities was a project that compelled me deeply. I have worked for PBA since 2003, and in that time have worn most every hat an educator can. I taught language arts and social studies, creative writing and yoga, human sexuality and journalism, and I helped launch our unique senior program, the Peace Bridge Project. Administratively, over the years, I served as the school's registrar, athletic director, academic dean, and assistant head of school. I have been, and still am, the cross-country coach, and I'm also fond of letting people know I frequently drive the school bus. This is my first year as head of school at PBA, and best as I can tell, I'm still in my honeymoon phase. The job is just that fun. The work feels important and vital. But if it is a honeymoon, it has been a long one. It has been a privilege to work at Pacific Buddhist Academy the entire time, and energizing and rejuvenating the whole way. For this White Wave broadcast, my message is about gratitude. Our theme at PBA for the school year is gratitude and growth. Each Monday morning at the school, our student body gathers together for a morning assembly to start the week. And as head of school, it is my role to deliver a brief Dharma message to set the tone for the week and inspire the students and faculty. Ordinarily, I tell stories. I found in my work with teens that if you really want to get their attention, the quickest way is to tell them a story, one that is personal and speaks with relevance to their experience. A story I told at the beginning of this school year was about my younger brother, Nathan. I grew up in Southern Oregon, in a small timber town called Cave Junction. CJ, as we called it for short, is located in the Illinois Valley, a small bowl of a valley ringed in by the rolling Siskiyou Mountains and dotted with small mountain lakes. It is currently a two-stoplight town, but it had been a one-stoplight town growing up, and so much of the populace lives in the country, on plots of acreage, small and large, living quiet lives, surrounded by the pine and fir forests. The Illinois Valley is an old geological formation. In the most recent ice age, the massive glaciers stopped short of my childhood landscape, and so the hills, the soils, the waterways, and the flora and fauna are more ancient than the Cascade Mountain range to the north. When my brother was 12, he secured his first work doing chores and odd jobs for an old woman that lived down the hill from us, near the drive-in movie theater that my mother worked at. She lived on a 5-acre plot that was largely free of brush, but had on it a network of old, gnarled, long-needled pine trees that, rather than growing straight into the air, like most of the pines in the valley, were bent at odd angles, bent like the back of the old woman that hired my brother. A few of the trees had become diseased, and to protect the rest of the pines from the ravages of pests, the old woman asked my father if he would come to her home and cut the diseased trees down. My brother was to split the remainder of the logs to cure and use for firewood the next winter. Felling and sectioning the pines was easy enough work, but my brother had only newly begun splitting wood in the spring and early summer for our family's wood supply, and he was unpracticed and had soft hands. I might have helped my brother with the work. I was eager to earn some money myself, but I had been instructed by my mother to leave my brother be. This job was Nathan's opportunity, and he was the old woman's ward. That afternoon, he returned home with blistered hands. My mother applied a balm and wrapped them with gauze, and while she did so, Nathan told us that the old woman had explained the reason the trees were bent, that on her property there lied a vortex in the magnetic field of the earth that bent the pines and focused great power on her land, and that keeping watch over her and the land was the kindly spirit of an American Indian. Nathan was not finished with splitting the wood, so the next day he returned to the old woman's home and worked until midday. The bent logs resisted splitting, gnarled and knotted. My brother's hands and legs were covered in pitch, and because his hands and body were sore, and with frustration at the difficulty of his work, he broke down crying, and the old woman brought him in to rest and be still. She spoke to him about gratitude. It was easy, she said, to be grateful when someone gives you a gift, but we grow most when we find ways to be grateful for hardship. Consider the sores on your hands, she said. You will be stronger when you finish this task. Consider the gnarled wood and the pitch. Think of the warmth the wood will give me this winter, when it is cold and I am alone. In all things, let us learn to be grateful, that from all things may we learn and grow. For the opportunity to greet you this morning and to tell you a little about our school and my life, I want to express my gratitude. The act of remembering my childhood and sharing stories with my students has reminded me about the unrepeatable joys of my youth and to treasure the experience with and guidance we give to our students at the school. I want to also thank the Mo'ili'ili Hongwanji for its work to perpetuate this broadcast and share with all its listeners the joys and wisdom of the Dharma. I hope to meet with all of you again soon and close my message with the Nimbutsu, Namo Amida Butsu. Thank you.